Welcome to the Midday. I'm Norman Gilliland, and welcome also to Daniela Mack.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
A.K.A. Cinderella.
That would be me.
you are the star. You are the title role, let's say, in La Cenerentola, the opera to be produced by Madison Opera Friday night. That's April 27th. So it's a week. Well, yes, of course, you have to rehearse a little more, don't
10
you?
10 days or something?
Yeah. Friday, April 27th, 8 o'clock. Sunday, April 29th at 2:30 at the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison, La Cenerentola, by the Madison Opera. Of course, it was written by Rossini. A little bit of a twist to this setting for La Cenerentola this time out.
Yes. Our director, Garnet Bruce, has sort of taken this iconic story and transplanted it to early 1930s Hollywood.
Now, you know, 1930s, that's done occasionally. 1930s, 1950s, mm-hmm. It's almost a trend, I guess you could say, for operas and for some plays, too.
Mm-hmm.
But Hollywood, that's a little different.
It is.
Do you have to change the plot a little for that?
You know, actually, he's done a fantastic job with fitting it right in. We haven't really changed anything at all, which is amazing.
Really?
You know.
Well, of course, Hollywood is full of Cinderella stories.
It is. It is. What a better time period to set this in. I don't know.
However, now one change I believe Rossini made from the Disney story with which we're all familiar is that there's no wicked stepmother. Instead, it's a wicked stepfather.
That's right. In fact, there are a few little changes that Rossini made. Overall, there is no magic at all. It's all a story about people.
Yeah, there's no fairy godmother.
Right. There's a man, Alidoro, who plays sort of the fairy godfather type role without the magic. There's also no glass slipper.
Right.
Instead of the slipper, there are two matching bracelets, which belong to my mother, one of which I give to the prince to find me. What else is different? There are no mice. No dancing mice.
It's so hard to get them to work opera.
I know. It takes a lot of training.
So, yes, no mice, no pumpkin either.
No, it's all a story about people.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of those conventions, I don't know if they came from Perrault or not. I haven't read the Perrault lately.
I don't know.
So whether those came from Disney or from an earlier source, you don't really need them, right?
No, you don't. You don't. I think it works quite well, and it's actually a more accessible and easily identifiable story without the magic. So,
well, right.
Yeah.
In a way, the magic isn't really all that necessary to what goes on there.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few things from the opera that would be fun to listen to give everyone an idea of what it sounds like. Of course, it's Rossini. How can you go wrong?
Well, in my mind, you can't.
Yeah, and this is Rossini right in the thick of his career, 1817.
Mm-hmm.
I think he must have come out with two or three operas that year, it seems.
It's really incredible. Yes.
Great stuff.
Yeah, wonderful stuff.
So what we have here, if we look at that, can you set up a little context for us?
This is a piece sung by my wicked stepfather, Don Magnifico, Miei Rampolli Femminini. He has just woken up from his slumber because my two sisters have been sort of obnoxiously practicing their dance and singing number.
Operatic, how convenient.
Yes. and he is recounting this fantastic dream that he has just had.
In this case, we'll be hearing, Bryn Terfel.
Oh, fantastic.
this case is The Wicked Stepfather with the Metropolitan Opera, James Levine conducting.
Miei rampolli, miei rampolli femminili. Vi ripudia, mi vergogna.
So that's Bryn Terfel as the Is he a downright wicked stepfather in this case, Danilo?
In our production?
Mm-hmm.
No, I think wicked is too strong of a word.
Kind of a cliche.
It is a cliche. In our production, well, he's a very comic, sort of comical character. His timing is impeccable, whether he's being funny or whether he's being mean. But no, I think a lot of it is for show, and he's... Misunderstood, maybe, is better than wicked.
Okay, you've got to read between the super titles.
You do.
Which you will have, I'm told, by the way.
Yes, absolutely.
Of course, Rossini wrote it in Italian, and I don't think you'd want to sing it in English, but or you'd lose something if you did.
Yes, absolutely. And the language is such an important part of what Rossini wrote.
Yeah.
He does a lot of word painting and sounds that just, you know, are part of the comedy, so.
And I think, yes, and the inevitable hand gestures,
yes,
that just go with the Italian better than...
Yes.
That's a lot of fun. How does this role, you singing Cenerentola or Cinderella or any number of names that has been added to the character, in this case,
Angelina.
Mm-hmm. That's just the perfect name for the character.
Is
she that much of an angel?
She really is. She is pure goodness, I would say. The alternate title or the additional title is basically translates into goodness triumphs or the triumph of goodness. She's just one of those people that has this incredible light and energy about her. She walks into a room and everybody will take notice because she's just... sort of an all-embracing, wonderful, charitable person. So.
This is before. I assume that this Hollywood plot, mm-hmm, for Cinderella has to do then with discovering how wonderful Cinderella is.
Yes, there's definitely a discovery. Alidoro, the character who plays sort of the facilitator for everything, sees her and immediately knows, look, my leading man, my big shot director, is really going to like this one. He's going to love the energy that she has and the goodness that she has. And in our case, the prince, Ramiro, is looking for his new leading lady.
And how do you put, or maybe you don't even need to put depth of character into a character who's goodness personified?
Mm-hmm. You always tried to add... dimensions to a character, so it's
right.
Not just one thing throughout the entire piece.
Like,
but
is she having little annoying flaws or anything that make her a more rounded character?
Well, she has a little bit of fire in her. I don't know that I would call that annoying, but she definitely, you know, she's in this household with her stepfather and stepsisters who just shoot her down perpetually. It's a very emotionally abusive sort of environment, but and she definitely hits her limit at times and stands up for herself as best she can, so it makes for an interesting character for sure.
You like those 30s costumes?
I do, yes.
30s fashions?
Yes, glamorous, and especially in this setting, you know, and we have a couple of big Busby Berkeley sort of numbers the big headdresses and sparkles, and so it's a good era for fashion, for
so
sure.
So are we talking overall, what, Art Deco here for the overall set look?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, boy. Mm-hmm. Irresistible, isn't it?
It is.
Now, what do we have here?
This is the second or the last part of the Act One finale. Cinderella is already at the ball, so to speak, disguised, so nobody knows who she is. And Magnifico comes in and thinks he recognizes her. And this is a very, very iconic sort of Rossini finale where the tension is just building and the energy just keeps you on the edge of your seat. So it's a good number.
So we'll have, let's see, Cecilia Bartoli here, mm-hmm, and then as her father, Don Magnifico, Enzo Dara.
Great.
Ma non facciam le statue, patisce l'individuo. Andiamo a tavola.
I was tempted to call that just, you know, beautiful chaos, but of course it's all very carefully mapped out, isn't it?
It is. It's very, very precise.
We'll get back to La Cenerentola in a moment, and also to Cenerentola herself in the upcoming Madison Opera production, right after this on Wisconsin Public Radio. Back with Daniela Mack, who is singing the title role in Rossini's La Cenerentola, a.k.a. Cinderella. And in her case, Cinderella's name is Angelina, and it's a, well, nearly perfect character.
Yes, I think we can all aspire to be a little bit more like her, very patient.
And instead of, we've said this, instead of the glass slipper, which I think, you know, was a translation error anyway, I believe it was supposed to be a fur slipper in original French, anyhow. Mm-hmm. But we have these bracelets, and instead of a prince, it's a Hollywood director. Mm-hmm. And Cinderella, is the character, is she then a Hollywood wannabe, obviously?
You know, in our setting, she and her two stepsisters used to be this three-sister vaudeville act, and times are tough, and so one of the sisters, me, got cut from the show. And I think really it's her two sisters that are really would do anything to be in the spotlight, and Cinderella's more... You know, she's content to be where she is. She likes real relationships rather than... And if it happens, which it does in the end, that she becomes a starlet, then that's great.
So what would be, to take this into real life, Daniela Mack's chosen role here after this? I mean, you know, if you were going to be cast, or if you were just going to get a day job or whatever you want to call it, what would that be? Because you're an artist at large right now, right? Mm-hmm. You and your... half just kind of move around the
yes,
country performing.
We do. You know, honestly, I really enjoy what I do.
You just like being the itinerant artist.
I do. Mm-hmm. Eventually, I think I will want to take it a little bit easier and maybe settle down and actually have a home somewhere. But for the moment, I'm just really, really happy to be able to do what I do.
We're happy that you are able to do it.
Thank you.
So this gets us pretty somewhat closer to one of those classic Rossini finales, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes. This next one is, I believe, Non più mesta, right? This is the final number in the opera, and it's Cinderella's sort of moment, this outburst of joy. Her dreams have come true, everything she's ever hoped for, and it's just a long expression of pure happiness for her, and forgiveness for her family for having treated her so poorly.
This brings back Cecilia Bartoli, and in about 3 or 4 minutes, it's the quiz question here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Non più mesta from La Cenerentola by Rossini, a composer who did know how to write about joy, didn't he?
He did, yes.
La joie de vivre.
I dare anybody to sit in that audience and not have a smile on their face.
That'd be the audience for La Cenerentola, which Madison Opera is putting on next weekend. That's Friday the 27th at 8 o'clock and Sunday the 29th of April at 2:30 in the Overture Center for the Arts in Madison. And that's where you get tickets, is from the Overture Center. And the star of the show, well, that's not quite right. There are several stars in the constellation,
there
aren't
are.
There? But
yes.
playing the title role of Cenerentola or Cinderella or Angelina is Daniela Mack, who's been with us today. Thank you.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Been a great pleasure. Come back and we'll play some more sometime.
Fantastic.
In the meantime, look forward to the opera.